I will go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for January 8th, 2019. We'll start with the swearing in of the newly elected officers.
So I have Chris, Scott, and Eric stand. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I state your name.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
Constitution of the United States.
And the state of Minnesota.
And the state of Minnesota.
And faithfully discharge.
And faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office of city council member and mayor, whichever one you are.
So faithfully city council mayor.
Of the city of Hamburg.
The city of Hamburg.
And the county of Carver.
The county of Carver.
And the state of Minnesota.
And the state of Minnesota.
To the best of my judgment and ability.
To the best of my judgment and ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Excellent. You guys are swearing.
All right, well, I'm going to have to stay standing. Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks for everybody coming out and braving the windy weather. Hopefully it didn't take too many pigeons for some of us to get here, but we'll go ahead and then move on to the next item here, the designation appointments for 2019. Everybody should have a revised copy of the resolution and appointments in front of you. The only major change from the one that was in the packet is the first line, therefore, be resolved. It ended in 2018. It's now 2019. And then where acting mayor was named as Councilman Tim Chasey. Otherwise, everything else should be as we saw. If there's no other questions or concerns, I look for a motion to accept the resolution 2019-01.
Make a motion to accept resolution number 2019-01.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the resolution number 2019-01. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Public comments? Any public comments? Or unless you're on the agenda, I'm assuming you're here, or just, I don't know, heat didn't work, you wanted to come up and just get warmer, I don't know. All right, well then we'll move on to agenda review. Is there anything that we need to add, subtract?
Mayor and Council, the only one thing I would say is that we would just strike the approving resolution 2019-01 since we've already done that.
Did we want to pull minutes from last month, December 11th, to make that correction?
Yeah, otherwise, we can just note in the minutes, the last page of the minutes, where it states, under the Hamburg Baseball Club Rich Shugs report, the last line says, and 2022 will host a state tournament. That should be changed to regional tournament. So just to note and make that change for the December 11th minutes.
Anything else for the agenda review? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion to adopt as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Amended. Consent agenda. Unless there's something you want to pull off and put into new city business, I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Chief, I know you're not officially on it, but you may want to come up and let yourself be known.
All right.
For those of us who didn't read the paper.
Yeah. Who does read the paper? I think you all know me, Scott Anderson. So I really don't have a whole lot this evening to bring up. Jeremy did come to me with the proposal for the location of the water tower and talking about doing a driveway around it and how we would like to see as a fire department something for a fill station related to that. In talking to the officers, we feel that the best bet would be if the direction of that loop would be enter on the west to circle back around to the south and place a hydrant on the east side of the water tower. I feel, and the officers feel, that it'd be best if we can keep people off the tops of trucks. So an overhead fill station is not in our best interest. Having the hydrant on the east side over there also, as you drive in that direction, would allow for the driver to be able to see where the hydrant is the entire way around. Keep it a lot easier and simple for them. That way everything's on their side of the truck. In a lot of cases, if you're filling, say, a tanker, you're sometimes a one-man show, a lot of times a one-man show. And it would make it a lot easier.
So do you want it inside or outside?
It's going to be to the east side of the
east
loop.
East side of the road.
Yep.
Okay.
Outside of the loop. So outside of the loop. And that would probably work best for us. You're talking to some other guys, they feel that probably would end up being more of one of our primary ways to fill tankers rather than backing into the hull every time and doing the overhead fill through if we do need to. Do a bunch of relaying the tankers around here,
okay.
Just as a kind of heads up for you guys. But yeah, for us, a hydrant would be the best way.
Okay.
And most efficient, less least risk and injury to people. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Good feedback.
So, and I would kind of think from the cost side of things for the city, it would be a lot cheaper for the hydrant. In the ground there, and then trying to figure out an overhead fill station as well. That's for you guys, so more sort of than me. But, other than that, things seem to be going pretty good for my whole first week as chief. So if you have any questions for me, just I'm more than free to answer whatever you'd like to answer at this point.
You know, open houses at 12?
I'm sorry,
you open houses at 12? You got open house here?
Yes, we do have an open house January 12th, so Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. And then, of course, we also have our normal Saturday meat raffles up at Berkside after that. Then the gum raffle for at 9 p.m. after that. So, this is Saturday.
This Saturday. Yeah.
This Saturday. Too. All three things on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions for the new chief?
No.
Congrats. Thank you. Yeah. Congrats to Eric, Chris on re-election, Scotty on re-election.
Good luck.
Look forward to working with you guys over the next couple of years.
Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, move on then to old city business, community hall steps. Hopefully everybody saw some of that was going on.
Yep, so Dan should be wrapping that up this week. Anybody questions the height of the poles, the difference there? They will get cut down. So that's kind of some of the comments we've received are because the poles only are made in certain sizes. Dan, once he has it all done, we'll cut down them poles, shape it up. But good thing we did replace the steps when Dan took that upon himself. They were in pretty rough shape. So, but now I think he's beefing them up pretty good. I don't think any of us should have to worry about them.
Yeah. So, just got one comment there. Get a girl behind the community hall to take a look at that retaining wall. And I was like, oh, turn around. And I noticed that water, maybe when we replace the back step,
mm-hmm.
we should maybe add in your short end of rain gutter.
Okay.
Because it drips off there and it drips onto the
Run
steps.
There.
It's just going to raise.
Yep.
Maybe just
okay.
a short end of rain gutter yep. and down the spout.
Okay.
Any other questions on the hall steps? Water tower?
All right, so we're moving along there, starting the process for funding with Minnesota Public Facilities Authority. So I started that, got the ball rolling on that, met with SEH today, went over the street plans. Scott was kind enough to get fire department's input on that hydrant. So instead of, we've talked about a field location, so we'll probably just look at the hydrant. That'll be a cost savings there, hopefully, on the project. So, and then today we kind of went over the streets portion of it. And basically what we're looking, that they had proposed, is anybody wants to look at this too, they're more than welcome to have a look at the plans, but just please note that they're only about 30% right now. So on Jacob Street, where we're looking to redo the main there, we're probably going to be looking to add a hydrant onto the west side of Jacob Street, which would be right close to the edge of Lynch's property there. The reasoning for that is because that's where the sewer comes back from the school and church out here too. That way, if we put a hydrant in there, if we ever were to run water, that way we can extend water out this way. So kind of when we met and did this, we kind of looked at future planning too to put some things in place. So the looping that they'll do here too will come from the tower back here, go along there. Like I said, we tried to look at ways we could save any of the trees. It's not going to happen. Unfortunately, all them trees are going to have to come out along here, you know, when they dig that for that loop here to the hydrant here. We'll be meeting probably in a week or probably a couple weeks to look at this here, because we got all kinds of utilities for this hydrant here. So we may end up moving that hydrant up more closer to the parking lot. And then also what I talked to them about doing too is stubbing that out already. So that way, if our industrial commercial area there ever got going, that way that stub's there and we're ready to go. And then just the other things we talked about is what we would be doing is, so what they'll be looking to do is where they dig the trench along Jacob Street out here from Broadway to Sheely. So where they dig that, basically what they'll be doing is where they dig it, that'll all be new fill. And then the other portion of it, they're just going to reclaim here. Like they did on Sheely and Railroad, you know, and then they'll repave that all nice and they'll come back to here too. And then there's property here where there's a hydrant right here. I know it's hard to see. They have a driveway here and another driveway here. One of the things we talked about was moving that hydrant. That would be an opportunity to do that. That way it's not right by their driveway, but yet we're going to check with the homeowners to see if they're okay with having a hydrant, you know, more so kind of in the front yard versus off to, you know, typically they're right for the property lines. So that's kind of what we went through today, and that just kind of gives you a quick overall update. When they said when they get to about 70-80% with the plans, Justin or Brody or both will come up and then give an update to the council too, where we're at with the tower and what's all going on. But it'll be full steam ahead here, moving on, so we're ready to go. We're shovel ready here, you know, once the thaw comes. So I think everything so far is moving forward.
And the other piece too is, I know Jeremy and I will be, if everybody else wants to assist with it, we're going to be trying to see whatever grants are out there. Even though we're going for the PFA loan, there still may be some opportunity out there for us to get some grant funding to offset some of the costs. So we'll definitely be continuing to do that.
Yep.
And searching for those things too. Any questions about water tower? Any questions from the public or? Okay. Move on to the storage container at 400 Railroad Street.
Okay, so at our last council meeting, we had basically talked about declaring that a nuisance. In between that time, maybe Quinn can come up and give some insight too, but me and Quinn have been talking, you know, about possible strategies and routes we can go on, you know, if it's possible to declare that a nuisance and whose responsibility it is for the removal of that storage container. So I think kind of one of the things we really, all our options, Quinn's, we looked at was possibly maybe sending that down to Carver County and getting their advice on it too.
Definitely. Since the last meeting, I was contacted by Brian Malls' attorney, Mark Osland out of Glencoe, and his position is that he doesn't see how his client can be found to have a nuisance issue here, because his client doesn't own the property anymore. And did not own the property at the time the city declared it to be a nuisance. And then he provided me with a deed, and I think I sent it to you, Jeremy, but yep. I'm not sure. I did, and it looks like it's actually dated November 14th, so I think part of that was just a lack of communication that we received, a lack of documentation, because property records hadn't been updated at that time. So when I agreed with Jeremy to send that letter out saying remove the storage container, we thought he still owned the property, and so this was before the sale. Unfortunately, it was after the sale, and there isn't really a strong legal basis for us to make Mr. Balls responsible for removing that at this time, since it's no longer his property and he really doesn't have any connection with it. And the variance resolution or conditional use permit, whatever we're calling what was passed in 2007, doesn't make it clear that he's responsible for moving that at the termination of that resolution. So that brings it, he's probably not responsible for it. And so then we have to look at whether that document, the resolution passed in 2007, if we can really enforce that, because the language is not clear as to whether the storage container actually has to be removed or not. And that's what Jeremy and I have discussed a bit, is that it's probably going to be hard to enforce it. And if we wanted to do a straight enforcement action in terms of going to court and getting a court order to have the removal, pay for the removal, that's going to be really costly just from a legal perspective and also a practical perspective. And so our thinking was we would get Carver County Attorney's Office opinion on this, because they do the prosecution, and this would be a prosecution under as a nuisance under the ordinance. And so we can get their opinion on that, kind of a third party looking at this with fresh eyes, seeing what they think of it, if they would feel that it's something worth prosecuting. Granted, if we can take their opinion, if you disagree with the council, we can certainly direct them to prosecute anyway, even if they don't really want to. That's going to be an option on the table, but I think at this point in time, just to get someone else to look at it and see what their thoughts are on it, I think that might be the way to go, just as a cost-effective measure, just to see what the strength and weakness really is from kind of a more neutral third-party view of that.
So, Glenn, when he sold the property, does the conditional use permit, it can that be transferred to the next property?
Yes.
Buyer?
Well, and that's what's weird about this situation and why I'm hesitant to really say we can definitely enforce this, because this doesn't actually say conditional use permit in the resolution that was passed in 2007, where it's treated like a conditional use permit, but it isn't explicit that it transfers when the property is sold. Because generally, conditional use permits do run with the land. And so normally you would see them be recorded, and they would be there until one of the conditions stops existing. And so this is a weird situation because we don't have that. It wasn't recorded. It doesn't explicitly state that it transfers, but it also, the language in it says that the variances expire. And this is where it gets tricky. The variances, once the storage shed is removed from the Timberline Wood Products property, the variances shall immediately expire and no longer be applicable to the buildings of the property. And so it places a condition that the container has to be removed until the variances go away, but then it's not clear if no one removes the container, what happens? And so that's kind of the sticky situation, because here one of the conditions is we have to remove the container first before the variances go away, but no one's removed the container. So what do we do? And I think the intent, I would imagine, based on my conversation with Jeremy and looking over, I think what the agreement was trying to get at was that it would only be there while it was Timberline Wood Products property, but it doesn't explicitly state that, and that's why it's a bit of a quandary right now.
Where does that take us?
I think those, again, I think all that sort of stuff is something that we return over to the county and see what they come up with or kind of a nuisance violation on that, just because they are a prosecuting authority. And from a cost basis, it's much more better for them to handle that. If the council orders Carver County to bring a nuisance charge regarding the trailer itself, you know, that wouldn't necessarily result in the trailer being removed, but of course, the trailer continuing to be there would be a continuing fine, and so they would keep accruing criminal fines until
it should have said the store sheds removed. It should have said Timberline. I guess I'd like to say we imply that with the first one, right?
If we decide to go forward with that, that would probably be the way to go. Because otherwise, we have to hire someone to remove the trailer. We have to store the trailer from the property owner, recover it, and all that. And that just, it adds up very quickly for the city in terms of the civil enforcement action. Whereas through a criminal, we already have the contract with the county. That's, the cost is pretty much assured on that. It's a lower cost, and so I think that might be a better practical solution. And ultimately, we might end up kind of redoing and actually doing a real conditional use permit if that's something we want to do and actually get this straightened out correctly. Looking at if it's eligible or not, I haven't actually looked at that. But that might be part of the conversation, is how can we get something there that actually complies with the current zoning code. Because unfortunately, this just, the 2007 thing does not really handle what it didn't accomplish what it was supposed to accomplish, and it just made a mess of things now.
But Quinn, wouldn't that first sentence of that first line where it says the variance shall only apply to the temporary storage shed for Timberline wood products, period?
Yes.
That seems cut and dry to me, that it only applies to them and not to anybody else.
That's what I would argue. The other thing I've discussed with Jeremy is, and I'm assuming, has everyone seen the resolution? Oh, so it talks about the setbacks explicitly. And so I went back through the zoning code. The zoning code at the time, was passed in, I think, 1975. That building is right on the lot line. So it really has been a non-conforming structure the entire time, and it doesn't have to apply with setbacks anyway. And so really what needed to happen was, and the zoning ordinance said any accessory structure requires a conditional use permit, only for the structure. So they didn't really need these variances because they already don't comply with the setbacks anyway, and they're, that was probably actually fine for the property, but it was, in order to put the storage container there, they needed a conditional use permit. And so that's unfortunately what makes this bad, because it says the variances are only for the storage of the Timberline wood products. But the variances are probably irrelevant, and it's whether the storage shed itself gets to be there or not. And I think that's what is murky about this. I think ultimately, if we talk with Carver County, that's would be my interpretation of that. If we wanted to push that, if the council wants to pursue prosecution, I would say that's probably what we argue, is that it's pretty explicit that it's Timberline wood products, and it does not say success or an interest in Timberline wood products or anything along those lines. It's very clear that it's for one party. On the other hand, I can see an alternative interpretation, just because this is murky and doesn't seem to actually jive with what the ordinance said originally. And so that's my hesitation in terms of really pushing this forward, is that it isn't explicit in what we would actually like to see. But Britt, I think we would argue that if we wanted to do that and see what happened, if we encourage Carver County to do that, see what a judge might say on that point.
Would this all be a moot point if the land was surveyed and it's shown that that was partly on the next person's property?
Yes. Yes, because one of the conditions that, obviously, the storage container has to be on their own property, and that is one of the conditions, is that you still have to comply with the setbacks that are in this resolution. And so if they're not meeting these setbacks, then we have a clear violation of this resolution, and then it's pretty clear. So the question then is whether they shift it over to comply, or if it would actually be removed. Is it possible that that space is just too small for the storage container? So I think moving forward, we can certainly look at that. I think just getting an opinion for Carver County would be a good first step. And then at the next meeting, we can decide, I don't know what the turnaround might be, but then we can get just their thoughts on what this looks like and the enforceability of that. And we can decide to request that they move forward with prosecution anyway, look at whether there are alternate options we might have to work with the property owner, or look for something else, whether it's a different violation or some other basis for having a storage container removed or moved to make sure it better fits in with the zoning there.
Council, any other questions or thoughts?
Again, this was all probably done back with a handshake, right? Because I think wasn't Helen his aunt, Moss's aunt. I believe, relation?
Well, I mean, I remember it was a while ago, but we ran through the hoops and our planner was in on it. And it was our planning consultant that drafted this, you know, for compliance.
In that many years that have passed on, is there much that has changed over them? What was written up compared to what is now in the books? Or is it pretty much, has a lot changed?
The ordinance is completely different. The city did a complete revamp of its zoning in 2009. But because this was in place before that new zoning went in, we have to look at what was in place when it was put into the property. And actually, that it was the 1975 zoning code that was still in effect when this was put in place in 2007. And so I went back and looked through that, and that's why, again, and I think you're probably right, where I think everyone had an understanding of what it was at that time, and either people have forgotten or are choosing to have a different interpretation now, and it's creating a mess when we don't have everything exactly all the T's crossed and the I's dotted, then things are left open for interpretation when we get to the present. Well,
the way I look at it, what I see is, you know, kind of when it was written was, you know, that variance would only apply for timberline, and if they ever removed the shed, you know, and it was still timberline, you know, they couldn't put it back, you know, I mean, so it was all kind of based on timberline, for timberline. After that, no, got to be gone. But obviously the language isn't.
Yeah, the language does not say you must remove the shed. And I think the other assumption when this was written is that they would take the shed with them because it was their shed. And that was the whole point, that it was going to be removable. And so I don't think anyone contemplated that the sale of the property would include the storage shed that actually isn't part of the property, because it's not connected to the ground, it's movable. And so I think that was probably one of the assumptions that went into the drafting of the variance back then. And obviously that's not what happened when the property was sold.
And then on the other foot, you can say that shoes on the other foot, so I'm just gonna walk away from it. That way it don't cost me anything to move the darn thing.
Any other thoughts, Council? Otherwise, we'll take Quinn's advice and see what Carver County comes back with.
Yep. Yeah, and again, that's just to get an opinion, because I think looking with some fresh eyes, I think would be nice, and just to see what they would be willing to do with it. And I think we still have all the same options we had before. It doesn't really change anything. It just gives us some more information as to how a judge might look at that. And then I think that's what we need to weigh, because we don't want to just be throwing money away trying to prosecute something that really has no prayer of succeeding.
What would a survey cost? Says $700.
Yeah, $500 to $700.
Now we'll be opening another can of worms, because we're all surveying private property.
Exactly.
We don't want to be doing that.
Well, unless there's objection, we'll take Quinn's advice and see what the Carver County comes back as. Move on then to the stormwater easements for parcels 45.028-2500 and 11-028-2010.
So I still haven't got the information back from Sibley Surveyors. I think, Quinn, I forwarded you that email, but it sounded like their personnel was out with the flu. So they're about a week behind. So that hopefully this week we should be getting all that information that we need for the properties here. Kind of one of the things I really wanted to touch base now and talk about was the fact that
but here's what we have in question is what we all had surveyed. So we have this and these parcels all surveyed. I believe in one of the letters, Quinn, they were talking about the sanitary sewer that runs here. We went and looked at that, and there's no way that that's on Mr. Trevish's property. So I don't think the sewer line that runs in the street to here is an issue. The one we do is the one that's, you know, over here behind the curb, I think it's right about here, there's a manhole here. And then also there's a catch basin here and a catch basin here. So me and Greg one day went and poured water down here, and from what I can see, we think that runs straight basin to basin. So, you know, and then to the manhole, and then over to the other manhole that's here, and then to the ditch. So, kind of one of the concepts here that I think maybe even an easy fix is to, you know, once we decide that this parcel here, you know, the city property, when we get that verification, one of the options would be to move this sanitary sewer so it's fully upon the city property versus Travis's property. So, but there would probably have to get some agreement to access his property, so.
And I had a brief conversation with Pat Neaton, the attorney for the property owner there, and I mentioned, you know, we kind of have two projects that, so kind of two different pipes, though I think they connect up, and so where we can maybe move one pipe off of the property, but the other one will definitely need some sort of a resolution on. And I mentioned that that's something that we would be discussing. Unfortunately, it's a little tough to really talk about that because until we have the survey back that really shows where these pipes are, it's hard to ask for permission to do anything or really explore what that might cost from a city perspective, simply because we don't know what we're moving and how far we have to move it to and things like that. And so I just gave them a heads up that said, we're still waiting on the survey, we should have that soon, then we can talk a bit more about what we might do there. And then I let them know that, as you'll see later on your agenda, one of our partners from my firm, Matt McDougall, is here to talk in a closed session about some other potential litigation-related resolutions to this issue. And so we'll touch base a bit more in detail on that. But other than that, no update really on that. And I think until we get the survey work back, it's going to be hard to have much of a conversation because we don't know what we're talking about yet.
Yep. Any questions, Council?
Okay, I noticed up along beyond the gas station, there were stakes up there, Jeremy. Did Avery and Jason, they surveyed the whole thing?
So they surveyed the whole thing and staked it. I went when they, after they did that, took some pictures. But, I don't know, day or two after that, Steve must have removed them all.
He pulled all the stakes.
Now, whether the pins are there yet, I don't know.
But even at that, Glenn, there's places where the Carver County has their signs set out on his property. I mean, that's because there's just no room behind the curb.
Right.
There's a foot, that's about it.
Right.
And Carver County's got like the railroad on the sign and all this other stuff that actually sets out on his property. So. He could have could be a long battle there. Not with us, but I mean,
right.
That's one which we just go.
Any other questions, Councilor? Thoughts on this? If not, then we'll move on then to new city business. So the public hearing for annexation of the Stewie and Buckingham properties.
We talked about it.
No.
We'll just keep it as is. So just looking for a motion to hold a public hearing February 12th at 7 o'clock. So we'll just do it right before at our council meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to hold the public hearing for the annexations of the Stewie Buckentine lots on February 12th at 7 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. And we'll move on then to city council reports. I don't know how much everybody will have after being gone for the new year, but we'll see. Councilman Buckington.
Nothing.
Councilman Tracy. Councilman Feltman.
No.
Councilman Poplar. And your first one, you don't have a report?
Man.
I was expecting big things here.
I'm sure the mayor will take up most of your time and everybody else's.
Well, the big thing I have, it's related, it's in the packet. In February 20th and 21st, there'll be a day and a half basically down at the Capitol for all legislators or, you know, councils and stuff like that to meet their legislators. It was really helpful last year when we went down to meet with Jensen and Nash. I encourage you, if you can make it, let Jeremy know so you can get you signed up in that. And it's just like I say, it's squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's what we found out with this LGA thing anyway. PFA. And that. So I plan on attending, so if anybody else wants to, everybody's more than welcome to go down. It's February 20th and 21st. And I believe the 20th is in the afternoon, and the 21st is kind of a morning kind of deal, or to mid-afternoon. But there's a gathering after, like a happy hour gathering, where mayors and council members get together and we kind of mingle with the legislators, and it's a good opportunity to where Nash can introduce us to some people that maybe we can keep their ear as we look for grants and other things we need to do.
Keep their wheels oiled.
Yeah. And then the only other thing would be is, Jeremy can probably get the information on this, but there is training for newly elected officials that the league puts on. And that, so Jeremy, if you...
I think
did you send that out already?
I can't remember if I did. I think I only put it in Eric's agenda. Sorry.
So, and then but, and there is one for re-elected officials as well. So
yep.
If it's something that you can make, that would be recommended. It was helpful for me when I went through it, because you don't know what you don't know, especially when it comes to open meeting law violations. We don't want to have to run through that issue again as well. So, but that's all I have for the council this evening. So at this point in time, we will go ahead and move to close the public hearing. We're going to close the meeting and move into a closed session to discuss the litigation strategies regarding the stormwater easements for parcels 45.282500 and 11.0282010 with our city attorney, as authorized by the Minnesota State Statutes, Section 13D05, Subdivision 3B. So I would look for a motion to close the council meeting so we can go into a closed session.
Make a motion to close the council meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded to close the council meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Close? We are closed. Okay, we'll look for a motion to reopen the city council meeting.
I move to reopen the city council meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded to reopen the Hamburg City Council January 8th, 2019 meeting at 8:54. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed. We're open. So we just spent some time in a closed session discussing elements in regards to the stormwater easements. Matt, at this point in time, if there's any questions or any other clarifications or points anybody wants to make?
Now on the tax roll?
Yes, or the annexation.
The annexation?
Yes, so I think what happened, why it never, I think it's again a clerical error here. So in 1965, it was the village of Hamburg. And so in 1973, I believe was the year, there's the Uniform Municipal, whatever the official name of the act was called, but it created cities. And so then a Uniform Municipal Code, and so it moved, all villages became statutory cities, unless they had a charter, they were charter cities. And so in that transition, it probably should have come in to the city, but I'm guessing because it was either because it was recorded in the wrong spot or they weren't really keeping that close eye on the land records at the time, it just never got changed over. And so it was, should have been in the village, but it, and then the city, but it just wasn't. And then because we lost the ownership of it, that's why it now shows up as being in the township when really by right, because it's owned by the city, should have inherently been city property. At this point in time, it's kind of a weird thing, because I think regardless of how the ownership shakes out, if it ultimately ends up that the city does own it, I think we might still have to go through the annexation process, just to clarify that, just because it's been listed in the township for so long. Alternatively, regardless of ownership, we can explore, I'm not sure, I think the top two parcels are part of the city, if that's correct. But the rest of it, you know, certainly if the city can explore annexing that regardless of ownership and regardless of anything else associated with those parcels, and that's something we can pursue with the orderly annexation, or I believe it could probably meet the requirements of annexation by ordinance, if that's something the city wants to explore going forward, and we can look into those details a little bit more going forward. But I do think it's just more of a record keeping thing than anyway. And actually, I mentioned to Jeremy, one of the properties that's coming into the city through the order of the annexation thing that we set the public hearing for probably should have been part of the city the whole time anyway, because the legal description says that it's part of the village of Hamburg, and so it should have come into the city back then, but for whatever reason, you know, account, you know, just again, some sloppy record keeping, it doesn't always come in when it's supposed to.
So in order to move our strategy forward and to continue the conversation, I'm looking for a motion then to go ahead and authorize Melker, Gruber, and Shadeen to go ahead and get an appraisal for the stormwater easements.
I move to move forward with the appraisal of the storm sewer easements.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to authorize Melker, Gruber, and Shadeen to get appraisals for the stormwater easements. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Anybody else have anything else that, for the good of the city, now that we've had Eric's first meeting under his belt and we're hitting the 2-hour mark? If not, I look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moving second to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting January 8th, 2019 at 8:58. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Poplar.
By the time this is done,